Y'all ready? I don't think y'all are ready. All right. I like it. I've been at camp for a week. We had a great week of camp. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. And because of your support, because of your prayers, we had many students come to know Christ. Many children began their relationship with Christ because you financially supported them, you helped them get there, and you allowed us to take them there. And so I humbly appreciate and thank you for that. I thank you for your support in that area, and this is so that it's not a dry sermon. No pun intended. As you see up there, Philippians chapter 3, as you make your way there, that's where we're going to be at today, and I've got a message today that I believe God's laid on my heart, and it's about pursuing the call of Christ. And that's not just for the pastor, that's not just for the Sunday school teacher or the deacons, it's for everyone who is a believer in Christ. You should be pursuing the call of Christ in your life. And so Philippians chapter 3, as we move forward and read this, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone thinks he has a reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing not worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider it that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained." God, may you remove me from this message. Let not one word come from me. Let it be you they hear. You know every individual in this place. You know every individual that's going to watch this later on. You know every individual and where they stand in relationship with you. And I pray that everyone has that relationship. But if there's one here that doesn't, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. I pray that today would be the day they realize that they are a sinner and lost in need of a Savior, and that Savior's name is Jesus Christ. I pray for those of us that have that relationship, that we would move further in that relationship. Perhaps it's following through in believer's baptism. Perhaps it's removing some sin or some temptation in our life that's bound us, that has us shackled. May we be willing to be taught today. Remove distractions from me, and may your word be proclaimed today, and we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory for what happens. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So today's message, I want to deal with the need for believers as children of God to have a biblical core value system that guides your life. And I believe that's where God has us, and that's what God wants us to understand. What we really need is, in this time and age, is Christians who are real. We need Christians who are real. I worked at Sears in college, and I worked in Nashville. And part of my job was to, I was the night auditor, the weekend auditor. And so we would take, every night, we would check in 40 to 60 registers, and they'd bring their money in, and the next morning we would count their money. Well, in the process of counting their money, we would accumulate it all together, and then we would verify all the monies. And so the verification process, you'd have stacks of ones, fives, tens, twenties, fifties, hundreds, and you'd have to count them and bind them up and everything. And that total had to meet the other total that you got. Well, I'm doing my thing, and this girl working with me is running the machine, counting the money, and all of a sudden I hear, dang it! And I hear the machine stop. I'm like, that ain't good. And she goes, I said, what happened? She goes, here. And I turned around, and she hands me this bill, and it's a $100 bill. And immediately, I felt it. That's fake. It's counterfeit. Now begins the process, because you got to call the Secret Service, because they handle the counterfeit people, and so they got to come in, and da-da-da-da-da, and all that rigmarole. But how did I know it was counterfeit? As soon as I felt it, I knew it was counterfeit. You know how I knew? Because in the banks and in retail, they don't teach you all the counterfeits. They teach you the real thing. So they would say, hey, for a $100 bill, here's what you need to look for. Here's how it should feel. Here's are the security systems that are built into it. That's what you need to look for. They don't teach you all the counterfeits. In Christianity, we need to know what to look for the real thing so we don't fall for the counterfeit. There's a lot of counterfeits out there, guys. There's a lot of counterfeits, and it'll get you distracted. And so what I want to do today in this need that we have as children of God, we've got to live by some biblically based core values in our life. And I want to look at three or four of those today. And in this Philippians chapter 3, I think, gives us three or four of these values we need to have. Number one, our confidence has got to be in Christ alone. Your confidence has got to be in Christ and Christ alone. And we see that in the first 9 verses. We got to avoid, in verses 1 and 2, it says, avoid putting our confidences in men. Jeremiah says it this way, thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man, makes flesh his arm, and whose heart depends upon, departs from the Lord. Don't put your confidence in man. Don't put your confidence in Brother Paul. Don't put your confidence in Brother Tim. Don't believe it because I say it's true. Believe it because the Word of God says it's true. So when I say something, this is what the Lord said. You go to the Word of God and say, hey, is that true? Is that correct? And then you believe it because the Word of God says it. Hey, I'm going to fail. I'm going to make mistakes. And so are you. And so don't put your confidence in men. Put your confidence in Christ alone. And in verse 2, it says, beware the dogs. In the original language, this means a man of impure mind. We need to beware. There's some people out there that don't have the purest of motives. And we need to beware of those people. Beware of the evil workers, he says. And this is those who are troublemakers. Those who are destructive. We need to beware of those people in our lives. Beware of those who mutilate the flesh, and one translation says the concision. It refers to those people who are religious, but they're not following Christ. They may show up on Sunday, but there ain't nothing in their life that looks like Christ the rest of the week. Man, it got quiet. It is not good enough just to show up on Sunday. If we're a child of God, it's got to be 24 hours, 7 days a week. And our confidence has to be in Christ, not in man. And then he goes on in verses 3 through 7. He says, avoid putting confidence in yourself. Because guess what? You're going to fail. It's going to happen. No, not me. Well, guess what? You just set yourself up. If you ever get to the point where you say, I would never do this, you just allow the enemy to tempt you wherever that was. It happens. Don't put confidence in yourself. 1 Corinthians says, "For you see your calling, brothers, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, that no flesh should glory in his presence." Beware the flesh. Verse 3 says it can't be trusted. Beware of the earthly pedigree and position. They're not to be relied upon. Just because someone has a degree, just because someone has a calling, doesn't mean they can always be trusted. And I hate to say that. It's inside the church and outside the church. I'm thankful that we have a pastor that preaches the Word of God faithfully every single Sunday and has done it in this place for 23 years. I'm thankful that we have a leader that holds to the Word of God. And I'm thankful that we have a church that holds high the Word of God. But there's coming a time, and I dare say it's here, that this is not held to high esteem in some churches. So we got to put our confidence in Christ alone, not in men, not in ourselves. In verses 8 and 9, it says that we have to accept our confidence has to be in Christ alone. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust the Lord in all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and then he will direct your path." Anything other than knowing and following Christ is worthless. It's worthless. Apply yourself to pursuing this right relationship with Christ. Verse 9, he's talking about that. This pursuit. Our walk with Christ cannot be relegated to coming to church on Sunday morning. If that's your walk with Christ, something's wrong. Brother Tim, you're preaching hard. Sorry. According to my scriptures, according to the Word of God, we've got to be pursuing this walk with Christ. It's a day-by-day-by-day process. So, number one, I think we have to have our confidence in Christ alone. Number two, we've got to concentrate on our own personal intimacy with Christ. And I think we're lacking in most of our lives, mine included. I think sometimes we got to concentrate on developing this personal relationship with Christ. Now, I know my wife. My wife and I have been married 31 years. I know y'all cannot believe that she's put up with me that long. On Wednesday, it'll be 31 years. We dated for 4 years. So for 35 years, I've known my wife. If I'm looking this way and she walks in that back door and she starts talking, I can tell that she's walked into this room from her voice. I can probably tell you, is she mad, glad, happy, or sad from her voice. I may have upset her. I could tell from her voice. Why? Because I have an intimate relationship with her for 35 years. Because I know her. Because we've spent time together. Because we've done life together. Because we have just done life together and we know each other, right? That's the intimate relationship God wants with you. But it doesn't happen unless you pursue it and you get to know him. He knows everything about you. There's nothing that shocks God about you. On your worst day, God still loves you. On your best day, God still loves you. And he wants that intimate relationship with you. But you've got to pursue it. It doesn't just happen. And so you've got to concentrate on developing your personal relationship. And so this is your ability to live out this worthy life directly linked to your walk with Christ. I can't do it my own way. I can't do it the way I want to live. I can't walk the way I want to walk. I can't live the way I want. I can't make the choices I want to make. I've got to do what God wants me to do. And so Galatians says it this way, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't give in to temptation. Now, that doesn't mean not every time, but when do I give in to temptation? When I'm away from this. When I haven't been in this. I'll throw this out there for free. Throw myself under the bus. A few years ago, my wife and I were having a discussion, and she said something to me, and I said, quit being a smart butt. Only I didn't use the word butt. It's a King James word, begins with A, you can figure it out. Balaam and his, okay, A word. Figure it out. And she said, what did you just say to me? I said, quit being a smart butt. She goes, no, you may have thought that, but you didn't say that. I'm like, yeah, I did. And I thought back, oh, no, I didn't. I didn't say that. And so then I started evaluating. Why did I say that? Because back in the day, before I came to know Christ, I used to cuss like a sailor. And so as I was evaluating, I had not spent time in God's Word for about 3 or 4 days, personally, growing. And it took 3 or 4 days for my mind to go back there. You say, well, that's not really a bad word. No, but I shouldn't have said it to my wife, and I shouldn't have said it at all. What does Paul say in Romans 12? Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He also says, take captive every thought. I didn't take captive the thought, and it came out my mouth. And so why? It was directly linked to me not being focused on my personal pursuit of Christ. As we grow in this, God has to be the strength that we draw from. He's the source of our strength. We got to concentrate on our yielding our entire being to be like Christ. Christ-like involves suffering. We don't understand suffering in America. We don't understand persecution in America. Because we're sitting in a building that's air-conditioned, that's got lights, that's got a sound system. God has blessed us extremely. But there are people that are in China that'll walk for hours to hide in a small room to learn about God. And I dare say, we won't. Because if we have to drive more than 30 minutes, it's probably too far for us to drive. Or if the AC isn't working and it's a little bit warm in here, whoo, I can't bear it. Or perhaps it's, whoo, man. We're supposed to be out here at 11:15. You do realize that we only work Wednesdays and Sundays, and when we go overtime, y'all get mad, right? But our personal intimacy with Christ has to be the foundation upon which we build our walk with Christ. And it's up to you and you and you. God wants you to have that. But it's up to you to make those decisions, to spend time in His Word, to be disciplined in that area, to become more and more Christ-like. Christ-likeness involves dying. Galatians says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. 1 Corinthians 15, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. You see, in our pursuit of this intimacy with Christ, it's a daily dying to self. Ooh, I hate that. because I want to do what Tim wants to do. I want to be who Tim wants to be. I want to go where Tim wants to go. And God says, if you really want intimacy with me, you're going to die to that selfish desire. And Paul, writing to the church of Philippi, is saying, hey, believers, as you concentrate on your personal intimacy with Christ, you need to die to yourself too. The third thing I think we can see here is commitment to not only just pursuing your personal intimacy with Christ, but pursuing maturity in Christ. We've got to pursue a maturity in Christ. That means we're growing more and more. Now, I've got, you all know I have 3 grandchildren. They're here. They're down from Tennessee this week and last week, and they went to camp with us. And that's a different experience. Let me just tell you, I've taken my kids to camp. Now I'm taking my grandkids to camp. That means I'm getting old. But they're old enough to go to camp. We had a great time, and be praying for them. They haven't gotten that spiritual walk yet, but they're getting some ideas and some questions. And so be praying for their spiritual walk there. But we got to mature in Christ. Now I have 2 grandchildren, the oldest and the youngest, that were both premature babies. All of them were premature, but 2 of them were. Roxanne was born at 30 weeks, and she was like 3 pounds, 12 ounces. Briley was born at 36 weeks. She was a healthy baby. Rocky was born at 29 weeks, and he was born at 2 pounds, 11 ounces. And so Roxanne and Rocky spent weeks in the NICU unit, weeks, all right, 10 weeks as they developed their body. Now, you look at them now, you're like, there's nothing wrong with them. But back then, man, I would go, Roxanne, I would go to her midnight and 2 a.m. feedings down at Shan's, and I would drive down there and I would hold her. Sometimes I couldn't even hold her, but like her head fit in the palm of my hand. That's how small she was. From the palm right here to my elbow, that's how long she was. And when we first started, she was getting not even a half of an ounce of food. That's all she would get. And we were excited that she was getting that nutrients, that she was getting that food. By the time she left the hospital, she was able to take a bottle. We're excited about that, right? Well, now she's 11. She'll be 12 in August. Guess what? She can feed herself. She can cut her own steak. She can chew it up herself. Why? She's maturing. She doesn't expect me or her granny or mom or dad to cut the steak, chew it up, and then put it in her mouth. But spiritually, that's what we expect to have happen. Spiritually, we expect to come to a church, and Brother Paul does a great job and explaining the text, and that's good. But that shouldn't be all that we're doing to pursue our spiritual maturity. Because he's pursuing it, and he's teaching. And you need that, and I need that, but we've got to pursue the maturity of our own growth. And so pursuing maturity means that we first accept that we're not arrived yet. There's still something else for us to learn. All right? Y'all with me? Hang in there. All right? We've not arrived yet spiritually, that we're a work in progress. Praise God, I'm a work in progress. Paul talks about this in Romans 7, and I'm not going to take time to read it. Just write a note. Go back. Romans 7 from 15 to 24. He says, hey, what I want to do, I don't do, and what I don't want to do, I do. This is Paul speaking. The perhaps the greatest missionary, at least of the first century of the early church. He's saying, hey, the things that I don't want to do, I'm finding myself doing, and the things that I do want to do, I'm not doing. Anybody else relate to that? I do. And Paul hadn't arrived there yet. And so you've never arrived intellectually, and you're continually to study, and 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us that. And so pursuing maturity means that we're accepting God, that Christ's desire for us to be mature. Christ has always had a purpose for your life. And he wants you to mature in your walk with Christ. That means you're off the bottle and you're eating the meat. And you're feeding yourself. You say, okay, Tim, what does that mean? Well, that means that during the week, you spend time in God's Word. You spend time digging into it. Oh, I don't understand it. Read it. And reread it. And reread it. And reread it. What I found is the more I'm in God's Word, the more my desire to be in God's Word is. When I'm not in God's Word, the desire to be in God's Word lessens. And so if you want a good place to start, start in the book of Proverbs. Today's the 27th, I think. So today you would read Proverbs 27. Tomorrow's the 28th of the month, you'd read Proverbs 28th. 29th, all the way through. It's Thursday's July 1st, I believe. So you would read Proverbs 1. And in the course of a month, you can read the whole book of Proverbs, Proverbs the book of wisdom, and you'll be shocked at how that will impact your life. I promise you this, if you consistently, faithfully be in God's Word 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes a day, it will radically transform your life more than anything else. Christ has a purpose for life. John Maxwell has identified four levels of maturity for Christians. And they're given in this progressive order, with the first being the least mature viewpoint. And here's what he writes. The first level is this: I'm going to do what I want regardless of any thought for God. Now, I dare say that that may not even be a Christian. I'm going to do what I want regardless of any thought for God. Level two is, if God gives me what I want, then I'll give him what he wants. Been there? Level three is, I will give God what he wants with faith that he will give me what I want. And level four, I will give God what he wants regardless of any thought for myself. And what his study and research has shown, that many Christians spend the balance of their life at level two or three and never reach level four. And level four is where the greatest joy is found in our walk with Christ. Is when we get to the point where I'm going to give God what he wants regardless of any thought for myself. I'm going to go where he wants me to go. I'm going to do what he wants me to do, no matter what. And that purpose is to be like Jesus. Romans 8 said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among the brethren. Pursuing maturity means that we're always striving to be more mature. It has to be focused, and it's a lifelong pursuit. It doesn't stop. I don't care if you're 80 years old, or you're 40, or you're 20, or you're 10. You're always pursuing maturity. You're always pursuing maturity. Hebrews 12, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We need to pursue maturity in Christ. Number four, we need to have a complete abandonment to pursuing the cause of Christ. Complete abandonment to pursuing the call of Christ. Pursuing Christ's call in your life means that you have to abandon yourself to a singular focus, and that is Christ and Christ alone. To have more than one focus, it means you become unstable as a servant of Christ. James says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Matthew says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The pursuit of Christ's call on your life means that you've got to abandon yourself to an unending commitment to the race. You say, Brother Tim, what does that mean? I don't know what that means in your life. I don't know what that looks like in your life. But the call of Christ boils down to one word in your life, and that word is obedience. So what I try to do every day, God, what does obedience look like in my life right now? I try to do it. What does obedience look like in your life right now? What is that one singular thing that God is telling you to do? For me, back in the day, it was a step out in faith and say, hey, I don't know how, God, I don't know how you're going to provide for me. I don't know how you're going to do, but I know you've called me into this role in the ministry full time, and it doesn't make any sense for me to take a pay cut of 60% with four young kids and move into Brantford and to take this church and to work in the student ministry. It makes no sense on paper, but God called me to do it. And he gave me and my wife peace, and we stepped out on faith. And can I tell you, he's met every single need. Not the wants, the difference. And I'm not saying that God's called you to that extreme. Hey, he's called you to, but he's called you to something, and it's not sitting in a pew. He's called you to something, it's being part of the body of this church. Some way, somehow. What is God calling? What is the pursuit of God's calling your life? What does it look like? What ministry do you need to be part of? If you have the gift of teaching, why are you not teaching? What is it that God's calling you to do? What's that one thing that you're like, oh, God, don't put me there. Guess what? He may put you there. I remember being outside the church we were at in Ocala, and we were working in student ministry, doing volunteer stuff, and we had a rout. God was blessing us. We were busing in 70 kids a night, and it was from high school down to elementary school. And we had 5 workers. We were stretched thin, and we had some of the rowdiest, obnoxious middle school kids you could ever imagine. My first VBS for youth, the first night of the first VBS for youth, part of my job was to get the kid down that's across railroad tracks he shouldn't be across, walking on a stone wall, and he had been smoking pot. That'll bless you, won't it? Yay, ministry. And my wife, we had a rough night one night, and she looked at me, she says, I'm just telling you right now, God better not be calling you to the youth ministry and especially to middle schoolers. Because she had it up to here of them. God's got a call on your life. What is it? We've got to have an abandonment. And that doesn't mean you give up worldly. It doesn't mean, I don't know what that call looks like in your life, but there is a call. God's got a plan. He's got a purpose. For me, I wasn't living my life right. I didn't even have a relationship with God. And you know what showed up in my mail was a letter. I was working Sundays. I thought I'd be Sundays for life. And in my mail, about 5 years before I got saved, this envelope showed up that said, that was addressed to Pastor Tim Rose. My wife showed it to me because she'd been praying for me. I said, that'll never happen. I threw it down. Pursuing Christ's call on your life means that you've got to abandon yourself to an unending commitment to the race that is before you.
only then will you be ready to face the Lord.
2 Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not only to me, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Pursuing Christ's call on your life means that you must abandon yourself to listening to God's voice alone. And I dare say it's very hard to listen to God's voice in this day and age because there's so much noise speaking all the time. When I take students to camp, they'll tell me, I can't go to sleep because I don't have music. I can't get up because I don't have an alarm. I can't do this. I can't do this. I need music to help me sleep. I need this. And I'm saying, what you need is silence. Be still and know that I am God. What you need is to turn your ear, your spiritual ear, to hear the still, small voice of God that is speaking to you. That's how he speaks. And you look in John's example in Revelation when he spoke to him, he gave him this vision, and he said, write this down. And Paul's example in Acts, when he desires to go somewhere, and God says, no, don't go there. And Peter's example, when he's in prayer, and this vision comes down, and he's led to go to the Gentiles. Why? They heard the voice of God. So my question to you is, when's the last time you heard the voice of God? God, I don't know. I've never heard God say, Tim,
I want you to do this.
He may speak to you that way. I think I'd pass out if that happened. But I have heard him speak to me through the Word. When we were praying about going into ministry, we're on vacation in South Carolina. I've shared this before, but we're in Williston, South Carolina. My dad lived outside of there, and we went to First Baptist Church, Williston. I don't know the pastor's name. I used to have a Bible that had it. He preached a sermon out of Jonah. The back of that Jonah text, that chapter, the book in that Bible, had the whole outline. And the title was, Go, Jonah, Go. At the time, Kim and I were praying about, you know, what is God telling us to do? Is it full-time ministry? Is it bivocational? Is it part-time? What? And we walked out of there, and we picked the kids up from Children's Church, and she said, what'd you get out of the message? I said, we need to talk this afternoon. And we kind of walked through the woods at my dad's house, and I said, I think God's calling us to go, but I don't know what that means. She goes, I think he is too. And it began this series of prayer and just, you know, as God's speaking to us. God still speaks to his people today. Are you listening? You see, pursuing that means that you abandon yourself and you listen to God's voice alone. The world's trying to tell you a whole bunch of other stuff. We need to be listening to God's voice. You really want to hear God's voice? Read this out loud. It's his words. Read it out loud. You'll hear his voice. So as we close today, my challenge to you is, number one, focus on pursuing Christ. Focus on pursuing Christ. Number two, base your life upon following biblically based core values. Listen for his voice in directing your life. And then choose in advance to obey him wherever he leads. We pray. Father God, may we be submissive to your will.
May we understand where we stand in relationship with you. God, perhaps someone here would say, Brother Tim, I need Jesus. Man, I'd love to talk to them. Perhaps you need to follow through in baptism, as we believe that's the first step of obedience in our relationship. Perhaps it's just you've gotten off track and you haven't been listening. You're not pursuing personal holiness and a pursuit with Christ. Maybe we're not maturing. Whatever it is, let God speak to you. Be willing to submit to Him in your life today. Be teachable. Let God move in your heart and be obedient to Him right now. God, take charge of this time of decision. May you be glorified with what happens. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Would you stand?